Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erev and daf Tzadi Hey. We're finishing up today the ninth parak of Erev, and we're going to start the tenth parak of Erev this morning and the final parak of Erev. But first things first, let's finish up. Yesterday there was a machlok between Rav and Shmuel regarding an achsadra bebeka. In other words, I have like a pavilion in a valley, and there was a discussion amongst the Amorim between Rav and Shmuel whether or not you're allowed to carry in such a within such an environment. Basically, there are no walls around you, so what kind of argument can you make to say that you're not going to be able to carry within such an environment? And so the answer is, it's the concept of pitikur yod v'sosim. Whether or not we say that what's going to basically happen is that the walls are going to come down, the walls are going to seal themselves in based on the frame above. The frame above basically is going to create halachic walls. The concept that we've gone through now a number of times, specifically in this ninth paragraph of Erevin, we've seen this a number of times, this concept of pitikur yod v'sosim. Now, as we've noted, everyone agrees to the basic idea of pitikur yod v'sosim. It's just a question of to what degree, to what extent. So Rav takes a very makel position. Rav says that we're going to say pitikur yod v'sosim on all four sides. So even though all I have is a frame, nevertheless, the walls are going to come down and seal off on all four sides. That's the position of Rav. And Shmuel says, no, Shmuel says that we're not going to be able to carry in such an area. We're not going to say pitikur yod v'sosim. Okay, so that was a machlokas that we saw yesterday in the Gemara, and now we're on the top of Tzadi Hamad Aleph and Lema. And the Gemara now wants to say that perhaps the machlokas, we're going to see a machlokas between Abai and Rava, which we're going to be exposed to in just a moment, and perhaps there's going to be an alignment between the machlokas of Abai and Rava and the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. See the Gemara inside. So, the Lema, Abai v'Rava, Bepulta the Rav v'Shmuel Kamiflgi. Very top of Tzadi Hamad Aleph, five lines down. So, did Marsichech Agabe Achsadra, Sheish Lapitzimim Kishera. So, let's say we put Schach on top of an Achsadra. In other words, now we're not talking about carrying within an area on Shabbos. We're now talking about the formation of a Sukkah. So, let's say I have an Achsadra. Once again, it's a simple pavilion where all I have are just simply the framework, but I don't have the actual walls. So if there are pitzimim, if there are slats, so in other words, there are actually slats in the corners that extend outward, so then it's going to be kosher because now I actually have walls. But ain't la pitzimim, but let's say I don't have slats at all. And so now all I'm left with is just basically a frame. So Abai Amar Ksher, Rava Amar Psula. So we have a machlokes over here between Abai and Rava. Abai says it's no good and Rava's going to say that it's good. I'm sorry. Abai is going to say that it's good and Rava's going to say that it's not good. So Abai Amar Ksher Amar Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. So here we go. It's going to sound extraordinarily similar, if not identical. So Abai is of the position that, look, we're going to have this concept of Pitikur Yod V'Sosim, which means now that of the frame that I have, the edge of the top beam is going to now descend downward. And so now I don't have a real wall, but I have a halachic wall based on the concept of Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. And Rav Amar Psula Lo Amar Pitikur Yod V'Sosim. And Rav is like, no, we're not going to say pitikur yod v'sosim. So now what seemingly we had regarding Shabbos by Rav and Shmuel, we're having regarding Sukkah by Abai and Rava. And it seems to be, as the Gemara now is going to suggest, is that it's a perfect alignment of machlokas, meaning that the position over here, the lean position of Abai that's taken over here by Sukkah, is the same as Rav's position when it comes to carrying on Shabbos. And the more stringent position of Rava by Sukkah is going to be the more stringent position of Shmuel by carrying on Shabbos. So Lema Abai Karava Rava Kishmuel. So the Gemara says, so then now let's make the suggestion. Okay, so let's have an alignment. Now, what do we gain? What's the benefit of making such an alignment? Okay, so in other words, we have complementary machloksim. So I guess in terms of Pesach Halacha, it makes a big difference because Abai Rava, who does the Halacha normally follow like? The Halacha normally follows like Rava. So basically, whoever aligns with Rava, that's going to be the halacha like we follow. Or you could also say, conversely, we can go the other direction. Meaning Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is normally like Rav. So whoever holds like Rav is going to end up, we're going to follow like Rav. Over here, it gets confusing because here we have Abaye aligned like Rav. So the bar plukta of the Abaye and Rav is Abaye, that is Abaye who we don't normally follow like, is holding like Rav who we normally do follow like. So that would, of course, end up being confusing if, in fact, this was all the conclusion. But the Gemara points out we don't have perfect alignment. We think we have perfect alignment, but truth be told is that we do not have perfect alignment. Aliba de Shmuel kulam lo pligi. Look, from Shmuel's standpoint, okay, you're right. Meaning, I will give you this. Shmuel says, again, we go back to the case of carrying on Shabbos. So Shmuel says that you're not allowed to carry in the Achsadra, meaning we're not going to say Pitikar Yor V'Sosim. And over here, the position of Rava certainly goes like Shmuel. There's little I could say about that. And certainly according to Abai, Abai is going to be arguing with Shmuel. Again, so that's clear. However, ki pliga liba de Rav. But the question really remains, what about Rav? Do we have necessarily the machlokes Abai and Rava, where we're going to be saying with absolute certainty that Abaye agrees with Rav, and Rava disagrees with Rav? The Gemara says, not so certain. So Abaye ka Rav, look, as far as Abaye is concerned, that's easy. He holds like Rav. Meaning, just like Rav says, Pitikar Yor V'Sosim, in the case of carrying, so too, Abaye over here says that, Pitikar Yor V'Sosim, and now I have a complete sukkah. The Rava, Ad kan lo kam Rav Hasam el adani mechitzus la'achsad ravida. Look, the Gemara says, I could very well be that in principle, Rava agrees with Rav. Meaning because Rav was talking over there by the Achsadra and the carrying on the Achsadra. You see, there are walls over there. The Mechitzah, sorry, Dahani Mechitzah is La Achsadra Avida. You see, those Mechitzahs are specific towards the Achsadra. Meaning basically, yeah, you have the walls. Meaning there's this concept called Pitikar Yor V'Sosim. And so basically you have the walls. But over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about the sukkah. Dahani mechitzos lav l'sukkah avida lo. But over here, meaning, yes, it's true that I'll subscribe to the concept of pitikar yor v'sosim, but I did not make the walls for the sukkah. Now, what does that mean, I didn't make the walls for the sukkah? So it's an important Rashi. We're going to go through Rashi together. Rashi explains it like this. Lav l'sukkah. L'shem sukkah. Now, in other words, over here by the Achsadra, so we have, we have a framework. We are going to say Pitikar Yor V'Sosim, but I didn't build the walls L'Shem Sukkah. Now, Rashi acknowledges, Alpha Gav Delo Bayim Mechitzos L'Shman. So now, it's true, says Rashi, that when I make my Sukkah, so I don't need a L'Shma. Meaning, either there's no requirement that, you know, much like when I tie tzitzis, it has to be tzitzis L'Shma. For the sake of tzitzis. And much like tefillin. It has to be tefillin l'shma. And the same thing is true with matzah. Meaning that when mitzvahs are prepared, when mitzvahs are made in general, there's this element of l'shma. It has to be made for the purpose of the mitzvah. Now Rashi acknowledges by sukkah we don't say that. Or more specifically for the walls of the sukkah. We don't say that. In other words, for the walls of the sukkah, any material is good. And any item is good and doesn't have to be made for the sukkah. So Rashi says that's true. So what's the Gemara's argument over here on behalf of Rava? But Mihu, I'm sorry, Alpha Gavdol Abayim Mechitzos Hashman, Kulehai Mia Lo Mikalina. But Rashi says, but still, we're not going to be that makel. Meaning over here, I don't even have walls. All I have over here is this halachic concept of Pitikar Yor V'Sosim. The walls are coming down. So in other words, the walls were created. I didn't even make walls. Rashi says that's not going to be enough. I need, there's like this middle ground. In other words, there's this idea of mitzvah l'shma, that I have to have a l'shma intent when I make it, and then there could be zero. Rashi says for the sukkah, there's like almost like a middle ground. I have to make the walls of the sukkah. It's true I don't have to make a l'shma, but there has to be some sort of fashioning, some sort of formation. I have to actually make them. So the idea of Pitikar Yor V'Sosim, satisfying my obligation of walls of a sukkah, it's not going to work. Why? Because I didn't do anything. I don't need to do it l'shma, but I need to do something. That's Rashi's understanding of our Gemara over here, and that's the difference between the case of the sukkah and the case of the achsadra vis-a-vis carrying inside. Well, yes and no, because over here it's the ability to carry inside an enclosed area. So over here that's the Doraisa idea, meaning a Rosh Hashayachid. Basically we're talking about the creation of Rosh Hashayachid. So that's the Doraisa idea.
But the concept that you could actually make a wall is rabbinic, no?
No, mechitza. No, the idea. No, these are all halacha Moshe Messina. This idea Pitikar Yor V'Sosim is a halacha Moshe Messina. So basically we're creating a Rosh Hashayachid so that I can carry an enclosed area. That's a din d'oraisa. So to a sukkah. So that, no, in that regard, it's the same. It's just now a question of, by the walls of the sukkah, there has to be some sort of asiya. You have to make them. And so that's why pig tikkur is not going to be sufficient. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Amar Imutarim. Okay, you remember our Mishnah? The Mishnah, back to yesterday's daf, had a machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. What was the case of the Mishnah? Chaser shenifritzol rishus harabim mishay rechuseh. Chayin bayi shenifritz mishay rechuseh v'chayin mavu shenitluka resav l'chayev. So let's say basically the walls came down. Walls came down in the house, walls came down in the chaser. So walls came down, your korah came down, your lechi came down. So what's the din? So the Mishnah brought down the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah took the lenient position. So Rabbi Yehuda says that for this Shabbos it'll be fine. For all future Shabbosim, no good. And Rabbi Yossi then explained to us his position. He was a little cryptic in his position. I'm going back to the Mishnah. I'm rereading the Mishnah from yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yossi Omri, Mutam Loser Shabbos, Mutam Loser Lavo, Vimasurim Loser Lavo, Asurim Loser Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi's demanding consistency. Like, either it's going to be good this Shabbos and all future Shabbosim, or it's not going to be good all future Shabbosim and it's not going to be good this Shabbos as well.
Why wouldn't he fix it by next Shabbat?
He will, but the question is it going to be, is it okay this Shabbos, yes or no? So...
Why do you fix Shabbat?
It's not... he's making an argument. Meaning, if it's good this Shabbos, it'll be good for the rest of Shabbosim. If it's not good the rest of Shabbosim, it's not going to be good this Shabbos as well. All he's demanding is consistency. So, Rabbi Yossi Amri Mutarmi Bailu, Rabbi Yossi La'esor La'atir. So the Gemara's question is really just a very straightforward question. Okay, good. He's demanding consistency, and therefore what? Is it going to be good for all future Shabbosim? Or, no. It's not going to be good for all future Shabbosim, which also means, by definition, it's not going to be good this Shabbos as well. I think the answer is kind of self-evident. It's hard to understand how the Gemara can even entertain the thought that what Rav Yossi is really arguing is, you're fine for the rest of eternity, even though it doesn't have the requisite four walls around it. It doesn't even have three walls around it. Hard to understand what the Havamina was. Meaning, as a Havamina, I'm just explaining the Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara is thinking that since at one point historically it was okay, so therefore it continues to be okay for all future Shabbosim. All right, it's just difficult. It's difficult to hear.
I still get a question, but what does future Shabbat mean?
Meaning next Shabbos, the Shabbos after that.
If it were to happen again? Or
no, meaning as it is.
Why wouldn't we fix it by next Shabbat?
Gemara's trying to argue, again, as a suggestion, which the Gemara immediately is going to reject, is that because at one point in time it had four mechitzas around it, so now, okay, it lost one wall. Okay, it lost two walls. But since historically it had four walls around it, it continues to be good forever. Okay, maybe, but again, this is just a conceptual argument of, since at one point it was okay, so therefore continues to be okay. All right, anyway, look, we're going to spend a lot of time on this, and the Gemara is going to out of hand reject it. Am Rav Sheshes Lassor, V'chein Am Rav Yochanan Lassor. So the Gemara quotes Rav Sheshes, the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan, with no one arguing. Meaning, Rav Yossi, what he means by this is, just like it's not going to be okay for next Shabbos and all future Shabbosim, it's also equally not going to be okay this Shabbos as well. You can't carry in such an area. Tanya Nami Hachi, Am Rav Yossi, Kishem Shasturin, Lassi Lavo, Kachasturin, Laoso Shabbos. It will be also for that Shabbos as well. Itmar Rabbi Chir Rabbi Yosef, Amar Halachi Rabbi Yossi. Ushmul Amar Halachi Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and now. Okay, so what we have straight so far is now we have a good understanding of Rabbi Yossi. And now we're left to just resolve, well, who does the halacha fall like? And the Gemara then presents a machlokas amarayim in terms of who the halacha falls like. I will note it's a little bit strange because normally when there's a machlokas between Rav Yossi and any other Tana, the halacha falls like Rav Yossi. And those rules were shared to us actually in Erevin itself. So if it's following the basic rules of Klalei Apsak, so we normally would go with Rav Yossi over any other Tana. Okay, but it could be, that's one argument you could make. I guess if you want to make another argument, you could say this is Erevin, and we're apt to be Mekel by Hilchos Erevin. Erevin's a Din D'Rabbanan, and so therefore, even though normally we follow like Rav Yossi, but because it's Erevin, so therefore we're apt to be Mekel, and that would be a point for Rav Yehuda, and maybe a reason why we would style like Rav Yehuda. The Gemara brings a machlokas amarayim, exactly who we passing like, whether we passing like Rav Yossi or Rav Yehuda. Just to say it again, Rabbi Chia bar Yosef says halachas like Rav Yossi, and Shmuel holds halachas like Rav Yehuda. The Gemara now notes the following, and that is Amar Rav Yehuda b'med v'amom b'eruv v'tchumim. Aval b'eruv v'chatzeres ma'arvin b'en ladas b'en shalom ladas l'fi shazach l'adam shalom b'fanav v'en chavin shalom b'fanav. Okay, not that long ago we went over a debate in terms of whether or not I can make an error for somebody else without his consent. Do I need a consent form to make an error for somebody else? And the Gemara made a following distinction, that when it comes to Erev Tchum, so I need a consent. Because although by making an Erev Tchum for my friend, and I will create a gain for him, I'm also going to create a loss for him as well. I cannot do that without his consent. But for Eruv Echatzeros, where it's all gain and no loss, Zachal Adam Shalom B'Farnav. That was the opinion in the Mishnah espoused by Rabbi Yehuda. V'am Rabbi Yehuda, Meshmo Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. And on top of that, we know, right, we've said this already a number of times, the halacha on that issue falls like Rav Yehuda, which means that for Eruv Chatzeros, I could create Eruv Chatzeros for my friend without consent, which is exactly what happens to all of us in our community, in all Jewish communities with an Eruv, meaning that the Eruv was acquired on our behalfs. We don't know about it. Zach l'adam shlo b'fanav. V'lo od. And then Shmuel goes one step further. Anytime the halacha follows, anytime we have a position, Rabbi Yehuda, and all of Erev in the halacha follows like Rabbi Yehuda. V'amalei Rav Chana Bagdasa, l'Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, afilu b'mavu shenito karaso l'chayav. Even in the case where the korer was removed, even the case where the lechi was removed, v'amalei be'erev v'namarti lach v'lo b'mechitzos. And now, it's a long worded question, but finally now we're at the end of the question. No. Shmuel says, when I paskin like Rav Yehuda by Erevin, it's specific to Erev, meaning not the colloquial Erev where we talk about the strings and the pole, but Erev meaning the collection of the bread. On all Erev matters, we paskin unilaterally like Rav Yehuda. But on Mechitzos matters, not necessarily. We don't paskin like Rav Yehuda. And now the Gemara has basically concluded its long question against Shmuel. Shmuel, there is an inconsistency in what you just said. You said over here that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah. But meanwhile, on what is almost an identical scenario where the lechi or the korah of a mavi comes down, oh no, we don't pass like Rav Yehuda over there. Once the lechi and the korah come down, we are done. You can't carry in such a mavi. So how... Right, that's a blatant stira. Shmuel, do you pass like Rav Yehuda, or do you not pass like Rav Yehuda? So Amar Rav Anan ledidim efarsh leminei de Shmuel kan shenifritza lekarmelis kan shenifritza lirushus harabim. The Gemara says distinction, very simple distinction. If your mavui is up and up to rushus harabim, and the lechi and the korah come down, and so now your mavui is exposed, no fourth wall to a rushus harabim, which is now an Issa D'Araisa, a potential Issa D'Araisa, so then we don't pass on like Rav Yehuda. There you cannot carry in such a mavui anymore. Our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah on Sadi Dal Amud Aleph, that says that according to Rav Yehuda, if the lechi or korah come down, you can still carry in such a area. That's if it's opened up to a karmelis. Since it's opened up to a karmelis, where now there's no longer a potential D'Araisa Issa, at worst you're going to be looking at Issa D'Rabbanan issue. So therefore, if the lechi of the korah comes down, so then you can carry within such a mavui. Gemara says that's the, and so therefore there's no stira within Shmuel, as we're making a very simple and basic distinction between a potential issa d'oraisa versus a potential issa d'rabbanan. Okay. Adkan, we have one more mission to go, one more gemara to go before we finish the perek. Habona, ali al gabi shnei batim. V'chein gishar ma'mufalashim. Okay, basically, I have either a building overhead, right? In Manhattan, you have this all the time, where basically you're driving underneath a building, or you're driving underneath a bridge. So, mitaltan tachtayim b'shabbos to Rav Yehuda. The area underneath, according to Rav Yehuda, that's the Rishos HaYachid. You can carry underneath. Now, there are going to be two arguments in terms of why that is according to Rav Yehuda. By the way, the halacha does not go like Rav Yehuda, but there are going to be two arguments in terms of why that should be. Let me just right now present the two arguments, and when we get to the Gemara, you're going to see both of them basically fleshed out. One argument is the following. I'm underneath a building. So that means, it cuts all the way through. Meaning I can go in on one side, come out on the other side. But But in other words, but it's enclosed on two sides, two parallel walls facing one another. One argument you can make is it's a reshus yachid. Why? Because the edges of the building come down on the open sides. In other words, the concept of, again, pi tikra yard v'sose. So that's one argument that we can make for Rav Yehuda, and the same thing would be true for a bridge. Meaning when I'm going underneath a bridge, obviously it's closed on two sides. And then what about the two open sides? Pi tikra yard v'sose. The walls come down. That's one argument you can make for Rav Yehuda, why it is the area underneath should be considered reshus yachid. A second argument you can make, which is going to be, an easier argument, a harder argument, I'll let you judge. Let me not tamper the witness pool. But in a second argument you can make is that no, Rav Yehuda holds two walls creates a reshus yachid, meaning that we don't need pi tikra yard v'sosem. It's just what's the definition of reshus yachid. So we've said since day one, as like dogma, you need three walls. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says no, you don't need three walls. You only need two walls, and it doesn't even have to be an L bracket. It could be two opposing walls, two parallel walls, and that would be sufficient. So those are two arguments that you can make on behalf of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara is going to discuss which of those that I presented, which one is the correct one. The Odom of Rav Yehuda. Now the Mishnah goes on one step further. Ma'arvin l'mavoi mefulash v'chacham emosrim. Now, what if I have a mavoi mefulash, meaning an alleyway, but not like the alleyway that we've been talking about since the beginning of the Masechta, but mefulash, meaning it's opened all the way through, so it only has two walls that are parallel to one another, opposing one another. And basically, it's an alley that's open on two ends. Rav Yehuda says, fine, make an Eruv. Okay, now here, there's nothing running over the top. Over here, I only can make one plausible argument, which is, how can I make an Eruv in such an area? Answer, because two walls creates the Reshus Yachin, according to Rav Yehuda. Again, not a position that we subscribe to, but at least it gives us understanding of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara, the Mishnah ends off with the words v'chachamim osrim. The chachamim say no, you can't. Okay. Amar Rabba lo tema hainu taima de Rav Yehuda mishum de kasav rabeis mechitzas doraisa. Okay. Now I already presented the two arguments for Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara starts off the discussion. Don't say that the reason behind Rav Yehuda is because two walls are considered reshus yachid. No, it's rather because of this idea of pitikar yod v'sosem. So Ezvei Abai says, hold on one second. What do you mean by that? Yes, okay. I'm Rav Yehuda. Mishesh lo shnei batim mishnei tzidei v'shus harabim. Osi lechi mikan v'lechi mikan v'kar mikan v'kar mikan v'nosein be'emtso. So what about the brisa that we've seen already a number of times that according to Rav Yehuda, I can have a house on this side, a house on that side, and just with a simple lechi on each side, and the lechi is just a way of marking off. Here's where you can carry up to. The lechi is not serving as a wall, for sure not. So, but still, in other words, all I need is two opposing walls, and that's enough. So, Amar lo, Marvin, it's just a rabbi bekach. And the chachamim jump on Rabbi Yehuda, and the chachamim say, no, what are you talking about? That's the reshus harabim, you can't carry within a reshus harabim. So, but over there, meaning what's the issue over there? It's obvious. The issue over there is that all I have are two walls opposing one another. And Rav Yehuda says, that's a reshus yachid. There's nothing over the top. There's no pitik or yod v'sosim. Over there, the issue is, clearly, whether or not two walls is considered reshus yachid. I'm really imei in. So there's an acknowledgement. Rava says to Abaye, you're right. If it's that brisa, of course I'm going to agree with you. There, Rav Yehuda is subscribing to the idea that two walls creates the reshus yachid. But meha lekala mishmamina. But from our Mishnah, not necessarily. Meaning, when all said and done, I agree. Rav Yehuda holds that two walls creates the reshus yachid. Got you. However, over here by us, in our Mishnah, it could be that the reason behind Rav Yehuda is because of Pitikar Yod V'sosem. I'm Rav Ashi, my sister, and I'm Midek, and Rav Ashi says, you know what? I think he's right. Because Midek Tani V'od Amar Rav Yehuda, because our Mishnah is trying to make an additional point. And how do I know it's additional? Because the Mishnah uses the word V'od. Additionally, So, and if the first part of the Mishnah is based on the principle of Pitikri or Visosim, that the walls come down, the edges of the bridge, the edges of the building that's over the top, if they come down, so then I understand, then the Mishnah's next words, Va'od, meaning, and by the way, let me also introduce you to a new idea. But if the reason behind the first case of the Mishnah is because of Shtei Mechitzas D'Oraisa, that all I need is two walls in order to create a Rishos Yachid, so then what's the Mishnah doing saying Va'od? And here's another point. What do you mean another point? It's the same point. So it must be that the two ideas of Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah are predicated on two different arguments. If you're going under a bridge, if you're going under a house, and it's only closed on two sides, so there we have the idea of Pitikur Yor V'Sosim. And even if I weren't going under a bridge and I weren't going under a house, and all I have are two walls and that's all I got, Rav Yehuda also introduces us to a new idea, which is Shtei Mechitzas D'Oraisa, that all I need are two walls in order to create a Rishus Yachim in a Torah. Hajalach Kol Gagos, I'm sorry, Shema Mina, Hajalach Kol Gagos. Okay? And that is the end of the ninth parak of Erevin. So again, just quickly summarize, we have a machlokus Abai and Rava in terms of a sukkah, meaning all I have is a frame. Is that going to be good, a sukkah, yes or no? Machlokus Abai and Rava, Rava says it's not going to be good. And what the Gemara attempted to do is align that machlokus Abai and Rava to the machlokus of yesterday's daf between Rav and Shmuel, whether I'm allowed to carry within an achsadra. And the Gemara says not necessarily. It could be that by sukkah is different. Why? Because there has to be asiyah, there has to be formation of the walls. And pitik or yod v'sosim, where the walls kind of just happen organically through a concept of pitik or yod v'sosim, so that's not going to be good enough. There actually has to be physical walls. That's the. Then there was a discussion of when the walls of the chatzar come down. So can I carry in such a chatzar? So we had a machlokas and a mishnah between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. So A, the correct understanding of Rav Yossi is that it's not going to be good even for this Shabbos after it's come down. And two, who does the halacha follow like? So the Shmuel says the halacha follows like Rav Yehuda. The problem is where Rav Yehuda was making on our Mishnah. The problem is elsewhere Rav Yehuda says the halacha is not like. Sorry, Shmuel says the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara made a very simple distinction. If your chatzar is opening up into a karmelis, it's fine. So again, so now the halacha is going to be that if your chatzar is open up to a karmelis and the walls come down, for the remainder of the Shabbos, it's going to be fine. If your chatzar or house open up to Rosh Hashanah and the walls come down, so then you can no longer carry in that. It's just a very basic distinction between an Issa D'Rabbanan, a potential Issa D'Rabbanan, and a potential Issa D'Oraisa. And finally, the last thing that we learned about in the ninth parak was the discussion of whether or not two walls serves as a mechitza min haTorah. Rav Yehuda says yes, the Chachamim say no, and we pass like the Chachamim. Okay, we're going to start now the 10th parak of Erevin, final parak of Erevin. Okay, looking ahead a little bit, we are finishing up the Masechta. We're finishing up in less than 2 weeks. Okay, we have about a week and a half to go before we finish the Masechta. The 14th day, Stu told me this, 14th day of Tammuz, right? 3 days before, right? Right, we start Pesachim on the 14th day of Tammuz. Easy way to remember that is that the first Mishnah in Pesachim is Orla Yudalit. All right, the 14th day of Nisan. Okay, coincidence, maybe. Hamotzi Tfilin. We start now the first Mishnah of the 10th Perek. Now, this 10th Perek is really going to take us off on a detour. Not a great detour. Meaning, whereas opposed to the Masechta up until this point in time, Perakim 1 through 9 basically dealt with Erevin, right? Issues of Eruve Chatzeros, Eruve Tchom, right? Perakim 1, 2, and 3, sorry, Perakim 1 and 2, the formation of a Mavui, how to create a makeshift Chatzer. Perak number 3 in the Masechta, 3, 4, and 5, how to deal with Eruve Tchom. Perakim 6, 7, and 8 is all Eruve Chatzeros. Perek number 9, which we just completed, kind of like a hybrid, mostly Eruv Chetzeres, a little Eruv Tchum, and now in the 10th Perek of Erevin, it's almost like we're closing the entire book of Shabbos and Erevin. We're going to not deal so much with Erevin issues, neither Eruv Tchum or neither Eruv Chetzeres, but now we're going to deal with general Shabbos issues, kind of like issues that I guess, loose ends, if you will. In other words, if you want to file this perek, file under miscellaneous Shabbos. Okay, you'll see what I mean. Okay, Erevin, by the way, really is just an attachment to Shabbos. Meaning, I know in Masechtas they were broken up. Meaning, Shabbos is Shabbos and Erevin is Erevin. But obviously, Erevin is all based on the fact that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, coupled with the Takana de Rabbanan that you're not allowed to carry from one Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid. Okay, but in other words, Erevin really is just part of Shabbos. So now, the fact that our 10th parak of Erevin brings us back to Shabbos, it's really not a large jump at all. Okay. Hamotzei tefillin. Okay, you're walking around outside on Shabbos, and what do? You come across a pair of tefillin. Okay. By the way, when I say pair, I'm going to try to be clear about this. When I say a pair of tefillin, I mean a yad and a rosh. Okay? I'm going to, and then later on this morning, I'm going to say two pairs of tefillin. I'm going to mean two shal yads and two shal roshes. Okay, so I come across on Shabbos a pair of tefillin. They're outside. They're lying outside. Okay, water is terrible for tefillin. I'm sure everybody knows that. So putting on your tefillin right after a shower, disaster. Don't do it. So the, right, not a halachic issue, but you're going to ruin your tefillin issue, which, you know, could be a halachic issue. But anyway, so the tefillin are outside and they're in a very, very vulnerable situation. So, so what do I do with the tefillin? Pick it up. But what am I going to do? Carry it? Now, it's not clear from the Mishnah whether I'm in a Rishus HaRabim or in a Carmelis. Okay. And for all intents and purposes, it doesn't matter. I'm not allowed to carry neither. Okay, so it could be that it applies to both, either one of them. From the Mishnah itself, it's going to sound like we're talking about a Rishus HaRabim. Either way, basically what you're going to do is you're going to pick up the tefillin that you're allowed to do. Right? The prohibition is only carrying, transporting them, either from one Rishus to another, or four Amos and a Rishus HaRabim. So pick up the tefillin, wear them, and now you'll be able to transport the tefillin, not because you're carrying them, but because you're going to wear them. Okay. Now the tricky part of this Mishnah, which we're going to get to later this morning, is under what umbrella, I don't mean that literally, but in other words, how are you wearing them? Are you wearing them as a mitzvah? Are you wearing them because we're going to call it clothing? How exactly, under what category, under what license are you wearing the tefillin as you're walking now through the street back to your home? Okay. The Mishnah is totally unclear. All the Mishnah says is pick up a pair, put it on, and go home. Let me read the Mishnah. Mostly tefillin machnisim zug zug. But you can only do it one pair at a time. So therefore, go out, put on a pair, take it home, take them off, and keep doing that until you've successfully transported all your tefillin from the outside to the inside. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shnaim Shnaim. Now, Rabbi Gamliel says you can wear two pair at a time. Ba'med Varma Morim, now. And what's the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Tanna Kamma? Stay tuned. That is going to be the remainder of today's daf in the once we start the Gemara, plus a bit of tomorrow's daf as well. So that's a major discussion in the Gemara. Stay tuned for that. But basically, now the Mishnah wants to know, how do I know they're genuine? How do I know they're really tefillin? Well, what else are they going to be? What's the other possibility? Back then, in the time of the Gemara, it was popular. Nowadays, much less so. They had something called the Kameya. We talked about this already back in Masechet Shabbos. Kameya were amulets. But amulets back then were basically made out of leather with a parchment, with something written on the parchment, put inside the leather, and then it was worn. Very possibly Kameya could have looked like tefillin. So how do I know that this is really tefillin and it's not something else? That's only if they're old. But if they're chadash, so then you're pater. Old, new, what are we talking about? Interesting Rashi. Please take a look at Rashi. I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Rashi says, B'yishenos, shenikar ha-kesher ha-asui kemin Shakai. Now, Rashi, of course, writes the Shem Hashem, but in other words, you're looking at the knots. And what do you see as you're looking at the knots? You see that the knots are formed, the shin, the dalet, and the yud. Now, it happens to be that the shin So we don't have a knot representing the shin. Our shin is created by the etching in the shel rosh. Right? We have two shins on the shel rosh, so one on one side, one on the other side. One with three legs, the other with four legs. Okay. But in other words, but when you look at the knot of the tefillin, the knot of the shel rosh in the back of the head, that forms the dalet. Some in Hagen have it that it's two dalets that are actually facing one another, otherwise known as a square. And on the shel yad, you have the actual yud. In other words, you have a knot representing the yud. So devadai tefillin hein, Rashi says, if I see the knots, and the knots are spelling out Shem Hashem, then I know the tefillin, v'yesh b'hem kedusha, excuse me, and therefore they have kedusha, v'asar lahanichan b'bizayon, and therefore I can't just leave it out in the street. But if they're chadash, the next Rashi, so if they're chadash, meaning I don't observe the knots, they're not noticeable knots, so then it's prohibited melahachnisan dilma kameya hein ba'alma v'ein b'hem kedusha ela b'nasim kehilchasan. So, but if they don't have the knots, then they're possibly or probably kamei and not tefillin, so therefore I can't bring it in. Okay? Chadash here just simply means, so chadash and yashan in our Mishnah, at least the way Rashi understands it, it's not a function of new versus old. It's that chadash simply means that they're not knotted correctly. And because they're not knotted correctly, so then there's a strong likelihood that they're not tefillin. And therefore, I have no right to save them, as opposed to if they're not correctly where I see the dal and I see the yud, so then now I know it's observable that they're tefillin, and therefore I can bring it back in. A question which I heard Shear on a long time ago, but you know, I don't remember all the details, but I remember the basic idea. So is that Rashi writes over here that they have kedusha. In other words, are the knots the reason why? I mean, they have kedusha because they have parchment inside, but do the knots themselves basically turn into Shem Hashem? Meaning, is what Rashi is saying over here that the knots are indicative of the fact that they're tefillin, and therefore they have kedusha, or the knots themselves actually Shem Hashem, and therefore the knots themselves have the kedusha, as they spell God's name. So I heard Shear on that a while ago. I don't remember what the conclusion was of the Shear. But anyway, but it's just an interesting discussion in terms of what the knots are. They are siman, or are they like a sign that the tefillin are good, or are they actual siba? Meaning they actually are chesed shel kedusha. The Mishnah continues: Matzam tzvasayim o krichos machshir chaleim o mevian. If the children are wrapped up together, bundled together, so then you sit there, you wait till Shabbos to end, and then you bring it back in. What exactly is the Mishnah talking about over here? It's not totally clear. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to come back to this point in the Mishnah and give more clarity on this point in the Mishnah. So stay tuned for tomorrow. Come back. Uva sakana. Now we're continuing the mission. We're on top of Tzadi Hamad Beis. Now, if it's a makam sakana, so machsan v'holechlo, you cover it and you bring him back in. Again, what exactly are the circumstances over here? So at this time, it's not totally clear. And when we get to the Gemara, we're going to elaborate on that point a little bit better. Rabbi Shimon Omer nosna chaver v'chaver l'chaver at shemagila chatzar chitzona. Rabbi Shimon gives us the first fireman's ladder in history, where basically, right, the firemen would have the buckets being passed from one to another. So Rabbi Shimon says over here, you could do the same thing with the tefillin. Have one person pass it to another, have another passing it to another, and nobody is going greater than four amos in the Rosh Hasharabim. Again, that's why, from the Mishnah, I get the sense that these tefillin are lying out mamish in the Rosh Hasharabim. And so basically now you'd be allowed to do that and just continue that motion and the tefillin, until the tefillin get out to the chatzar chitzona. What's going to be a little bit challenging is going to be, how do we make that last pass? Meaning in the Rosh Hasharabim itself, so you can go less than four amos, less than four amos, less than four amos. But when you're going from one Rosh Hashanah to another, it doesn't matter how many amos have been transported. Okay. So we're gonna try to explain that also.
The last person, did they get a hanacha on that?
Right, one's going to do the Akira, one's going to do a Hanach, but that's still Asr Mid Rabban. That's rabbinically prohibited. To go less than four Amos in a Rosh Hasharabim, that's Mota Lagamri. Okay. V'chein b'no nosna l'chaver v'chaver l'chaver afilo meya. Rav Yehuda omer nosna adam chaver l'chaver v'chaver l'chaver afilo chutzot chum. I'm sorry, I jumped too far ahead in the Mishnah. And let's say mom gave birth to a baby out in the field. And now you need to carry the baby. Now the baby can't walk on its own, so you don't have this concept of chayno se'asma, I know sakana, I understand that. But to obviate the issue of carrying. So what you're going to do is basically, again, fireman brigade on the baby and just have one person passing it to another, and that's how you get from the field to the house. Okay. And then the Gemara says that not only can this be done in terms of transporting in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it also will allow you to go outside of Tchum as well. Meaning, because once you go out of Tchum, what do you have? All you have is four amas. So basically what you're going to now do is, okay, I know that I can't go outside of Tchum, but what I'll do is I'll take this item outside of Tchum, and then I'll hand it off to somebody else. And then what happens is that it'll get handed off to another person. As long as each person goes less than four amas, so then I can have the item go exceed Tchum. And the Gemara says, Amru lo, they say to Rav Yehuda, wow, you figuratively and literally went too far. Lo tahalach zu yoster me ragle ba'aleha. No. Walking less than four amas in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's fine. But having an item exceed its tchum boundary cannot do. Even if it's done by multiple people, even if it's done by people who they themselves are allowed to, but an item is circumscribed on Shabbos within the parameters of its owner. If the owner cannot go beyond a certain point on Shabbos, neither can its item. So the handoff is not going to work out well for going outside of Tchum. It'll work fine for carrying in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but not going outside of Tchum. Okay. And here we begin now a lengthy discussion. We're going to start it this morning in terms of how does it work regarding the tefillin. In our Mishnah, we are given very precious little information. Our mission says you find tefillin out in the street, so what you could do is either bring them home wearing them one at a time, that's a sheet of the Tanna Kamma, or according to Rabbi Gamliel, bring them in two at a time. We're given no more information other than that, and no context whatsoever for this discussion. So the Gemara is going to try to fill in the blanks and provide some context for this discussion. So the Gemara starts off, Zugechad in tefillo, Lema tanan stama delo karebi meir, di karebi meir, So the Gemara says, what about Shitas Rebbe Meir? Meaning, you remember there was a fire in the house, and we're trying to save the contents of the house. Now you can't put out the fire, right? Difficult halacha. You can't put out the fire. You got to let your house burn down to the ground. Okay, there'll be other houses. Fine, but what you can do is you can go inside the house and you could save. But the Chachamim said even then. We're going to curtail the amount that you can actually save in the house. For fear that if you're starting to save everything in the house, so at that point in time, you'll become totally angst-ridden, as if you aren't already. You'll be totally angst-ridden, and you're going to want to put out the fire. So what the Chachamim basically did is, with serious moderation, you could save things from the house. Sifrei Torah, or any Sifrei Kedusha, and any Sifrei Tanakh you could save, the Mishnah tells us. Food, just enough for three meals. Clothing, what you can wear. Now, what you can wear, well, what if you double layer and triple layer? So, can you go out of your house on Shabbos like that, out of the burning house? Rameir says, sure. Not a problem. So, Didnan, we learned in the Mishnah over there. Didnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Mishnah back in Shabbos. L'sham motzi kol klei tash mishol. V'lovish kol mashiach l'obosh v'otif kol mashiach l'atof. So you wrap yourself with as many layers as you can. You put on as many head coverings as you can. Whatever you can wear, you can get out of your house. I forgot who it was. Who argues with Rabbi Meir over there in that Mishnah? Who was it? Rabbi Yossi, you think? I bet you're right. So he says, no, only 18 articles of clothing. And if you remember the Gemara over there, the Gemara listed the 18 articles of clothing. I don't remember the 18 articles of clothing. I do remember, however, I knew very little in terms of what those clothing were. You have to really live back in the good old days to understand what how a person got up and dressed in 18 different articles of clothing. Anyway, that Shitas Rebbe Meir. So now the Gemara says, compare Shitas Rebbe Meir over there, Masechet Shabbos, to our discussion over here. We say that you find tefillin lying around only one pair at a time. That's it. You're capped. If you're Rebbe Meir, you shouldn't be capped. You should be able to wear as many tefillin as possible. Now this gets us to a very interesting discussion. Right. Which is, perfect. How many can you actually wear? So V'ahistami mimai de Rebbe Meir, he diktani Allah. Now first of all, just And sorry, I should have just read this already. How do I know that that Mishnah over there is Rabbi Meir? Because we saw the Mishnah didn't mention Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, because we had a brisa, a lovish umotzi poshet, v'lovish umotzi poshet, I feel called Yom Kulo, div Rabbi Meir. Okay.
When you say wear, you're talking about the way we wear for the purpose of mitzvah or a different way of wearing.
Okay, so you're hitting the right chord. I'm a Rav Afilotem Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, look, that Mishnah over there in Shabbos is Rabbi Meir. Fine. Our Mishnah over here could also be Rabbi Meir. Because Hasam Derech Mabusho Kechol Shavir Rabbanan, V'hacha Derech Mabusho Kechol Shavir Rabbanan. It's just a question of what's considered normal wearing. Meaning, do we bundle in layers? Yeah, sometimes we do. Okay, it's odd to bundle in, 8, 10, 15 layers of clothing, but the idea of layering is not a bizarre idea in the world of clothing. So when your house is on fire on Shabbos, and you're walking out of the house on Shabbos, and you're wearing your clothing, so basically now, derech malbush, the normative way of dress. And it's normal to layer. So therefore, kechol shavir rabbanan, hasam debechol kama debay lavish leinyan hatzala nami sharalei rabbanan. So as far as clothing is concerned, I layer normally during the week. So on Shabbos, if you want to layer while you're running out of the burning house, go ahead. And that way, you can save as much clothing as you want. Hacha debechol nami zug echad in tfeilo, leinyan hatzala nami zug echad in tfeilo. Now, as far as the tefillin that's concerned, just like during the week we normally wear one pair, so too on Shabbos. Now, I'm operating how? Through a heter of the Chachamim to save the tefillin. Meaning, you're right, we have save the whales, and the Chachamim on Shabbos, they save the tefillin. So as a mandate for us to save the tefillin, so basically, look, I know Shabbos was not the right time to wear tefillin, although we're going to question that in just a moment, but let's right now just say it simply. It's not the right time to wear tefillin, but because of this imperative, this mandate of save the tefillin, so therefore I'm going to wear the tefillin on Shabbos like I normally wear them during the week, since I only normally wear one pair during the week, so therefore the Chachamim's mandate of save the tefillin on Shabbos only caps me at one pair. Okay. Let's start the next sugya. Just start it, and tomorrow obviously we'll pick it up inside. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shlaim Shnayim. Now Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you wear two at a time. So my kasavar. So the Gemara now basically wants to know, how do you understand our Mishnah? Machlokis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Gamliel of our Mishnah. Tanakama says that when you're saving the tefillin Shabbos, only one pair at a time, and Rabbi Gamliel allows you to wear two pair at a time. What's going on over here? So my kasavar, kasavar Shabbos man tefillin hu zugechen in tefilo. Now, again, as I mentioned back in the Mishnah, but now let me just reiterate, under what license are you wearing the tefillin? Are you wearing the tefillin as a mitzvah or no? And it really touches on a very fundamental question, which is there a mitzvah to wear tefillin on Shabbos, yes or no? The answer to that question is it's a machlokas. Meaning, the Gemara over here doesn't spell it out. The Gemara tomorrow will spell it out. And the Gemara now basically will debate. Well, over here, we're just assuming that we know this. The Gemara is going to have a debate as terms of whether or not there is a mitzvah on Shabbos to wear tefillin. Okay. You probably know this already. We're going to see this tomorrow. Tomorrow's daf. Shabbos is an os. Tefillin is an os. So it may be unnecessary, superfluous to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Okay. Again, well, that we'll talk about tomorrow. But in the meantime, however, are you wearing the tefillin as a mitzvah? Well, if you're wearing them as a mitzvah, so then one pair. And if no, meaning if Shabbos is not as man tefillin, and over here I'm wearing the tefillin not as a mitzvah, but as because the rabbis tell me save the tefillin, and they basically gave it malbush status, so why am I kept? Why not wear as many as I can wear? Hatzala derech malbush b'makom tefillin. So the Gemara says, well, here's how we're going to try to argue it. We'll argue it that really on Shabbos tefillin is not a mitzvah. That's going to be our supposition. But and I'm wearing it because the rabbis say save the tefillin. But even when the rabbis say save the tefillin, the guideline is wear the tefillin like I wear them during the week. So the Gemara says, Yahachi, zug echad nami. I'm sorry, let's take out the word nami. Zug echad in tefillo. So the Gemara says, so then, if I'm wearing it like I wear it during the week, how am I entitled to wear more than one pair of tefillin? So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Malkam Yishpiro, Sanich Boshe tefillin. So the Gemara says, because even when I wear tefillin, there's room on the head for two pairs of tefillin. Meaning, here's the Gemara now, which is going to discuss exactly how many pairs of tefillin can I be wearing simultaneously and fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Now it's interesting, it's he's an Amora, but as the Gemara is going to point out, no one argues with him, no one debates him. There's room for two pairs of tefillin. Hani chadarosh yad ma'ikal ma'amar. And the Gemara says, look, on the head for sure there's enough room for two pairs of tefillin. What about the arm? Now, I'm not going to be very specific right now. Tomorrow morning, we'll start off with more specifics in terms of where exactly we're situating these two pairs of tefillin. But the Gemara starts off, Michael, Amemek, Ravuna, Dam, Ravuna, Pamim, Shadam, Bab, Minasad, Vechavlesa, Rosho, Omasakam, Rosho, Vekosham, Mizroa. So the Gemara says that, look, when you're coming home now, in the good old days, you know they wore tefillin all day. Right? That's how it used to be. Obviously, less so today. Tomorrow, we're going to have an interesting discussion in the Gemara tomorrow in terms of basically why is it that we don't wear tefillin all day. But in the meantime, however, so back then, they worked with their tefillin on. Can you imagine? So they're out in the field. So if you're out in the field and you're trying to bring something back in the field, then you need to wear it to put something on the head. And the tefillin shel rosh is just going to make it too difficult. So what you can do, says the Gemara, is you can take off the tefillin shel rosh, put it on your arm, even though you already have a shel yad on. You'll put it next to the shel yad. And that's how you come in from the field. And then when the load comes off your head, you'll put the shel rosh back on your head. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't mean anything. So the Gemara says, Ey madam, Rav Huna shel yinag ben derech b'zayin. The Gemara says, fine, but I'm only doing that just to protect the tefillin shel rosh. Ra'ui mi amar? But does that mean that it's actually fitting to put two boxes on your arm? Ela kedam Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, makam yesh b'rosh, sh'roi lanich bo shtei tefillin. Hachanami makam yesh b'yad, sh'roi lanich bo shtei tefillin. It's like, it's funny. Sometimes I don't know what the give and take in the Gemara was. The Gemara started off by saying, is there really room to put two pairs of tefillin on your arm? And then the Gemara says, yeah, there's really room to put two pairs of tefillin on your arm. So here I didn't follow really what the give was, what the take was, but okay, we know where the Gemara's ended. Tanda be Menasha, Ayad Chazik, Kiboros, Bein Enechazik, Kat Kod. Hey Chaimer, Debe Ravyana, Makum Shemocha, Shotina, Grow Face. So the Gemara says, I'm just going to end it off here today, and tomorrow I'll be more specific. So when the Torah says Ayad Chazik, doesn't mean put the box of the tefillin here on the hand, even though that's a literal interpretation, but it means Kiboros, it means the bicep. And when it says put Bein Enechazik, it does not mean between your eyes, but rather you put it actually on your head itself. Where exactly on the head? So the Gemara says, Zekad Kod, okay, which the Gemara tries to give a better description of what that is. Makom Shemocha Shonit Tinek Row Face. It's the area on the baby's skull where it's soft because it's still developing. Okay, tomorrow I'll talk more about exactly where the tefillin should be placed. I'll be more specific. Okay, the beginning of the 10th Perek, fascinating discussion which is going to take us through today, tomorrow, and a little bit of today's Tuesday? Yeah. And a little bit into Thursday, and that's going to be a discussion of tefillin. Right now, we're not totally clear, but we have a better understanding. Machlokes between the Tanakam and Rami Gimel of our Mishnah. I see tefillin lying around. I can put them on in order to protect them, bring them back home with me. One pair at a time, two pair at a time, machlokes between Tanakam and Rami Gimel. And at this stage of the Gemara right now, we've established that there's actually room on your head and on your arm for two pairs. And then we're going to talk tomorrow in terms of what exactly is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Gamliel. Adkan.